Blog Talk Radio.
That your partner communicates the same way that you do, and when they don't, do you find yourself nagging, yelling, or getting silent? Maybe, just maybe, there is another way. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel, Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the Healing Through Love lessons. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Ariana Fernandez, Master Certified Relationship and Intimacy Coach, is a mom to three amazing girls, a wife, and a lifelong learner. Her personal relationship journey took her through two divorces and an adventure of self-discovery to find out who she is and what she wants in her life partner and life relationship. She found and married her man, beautiful baby girls, to her fun tribe. Now she uses her knowledge and training to help others create a loving, passionate relationship that lasts a lifetime. And she'll also share with you about her upcoming telesummit. So I'm delighted to welcome Ariana Fernandez.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to be here.
And I'm excited to speak with you and find out about your background and your early background, what happened, what led you to work in sales and customer service training, and then to switch into becoming a relationship and intimacy coach. So please share a little bit so our viewers understand.
Sure. You know, it's always kind of an interesting way how we weave in and out of things, but I studied psychology in school, like my bachelor's in psychology, and my goal was to become a licensed therapist or even go and get my PhD. And, you know, I finished my degree a little bit older. I had a baby when I was finishing my degree, doing things. So I had a family and a baby, and I was going to get my master's degree, and then a sales job fell in my lap. It was a little bit more than fell in my lap. My mom was a salesperson, so she said, hey, you know, why don't you check this out? You just finish your degree, you had a baby. So I did. So I applied, I got hired, and I became a pharmaceutical sales rep, and I was a pharmaceutical sales rep for 2 years. And I learned so much in that job as a salesperson. One of the things that I learned is that I love talking with the doctors, and I love educating them, and I love sharing with them about the products and how it can improve the lives of their patients. I wasn't so much interested in like the hard selling numbers part of it, more the relationship selling, the creating of partnerships with these doctors. And that was kind of my niche and the way that I became number two in my territory, which was a little bit different than other people in the industry, but I made it my own. But increasingly, at the end, I was disappointed and frustrated with just sales overall, because I just you know, it was a lot of pressure. It was a lot of stuff. So I went looking for other avenues. So since I liked educating and training, I decided, hey, let me become a trainer. So that's what I did. I became a trainer. And I got my master's degree.
A trainer of sales? Excuse me?
Yeah.
I became
a sales trainer, sales customer service trainer. I got my master's degree in organizational development right here in Florida in Barry University. And I said, you know, I want to teach people how to be, to do things the way that I did it, be successful in my style, and of sales, which I call customer-oriented sales or relationship selling. So I got involved with that, and I got my master's degree, and I started working for companies. And, you know, it was a lot of the same. When you work for an organization, you have to follow their rules. You have to follow everything the way they do it. And it was very hard for me to express my true self and what I really wanted to do and how I wanted to serve people and help people. So I went looking for something that would kind of mix, like, business and sales and, you know, all of these different things that I have acquired in about, you know, I don't know, 6 or 7 years of working life. And I wanted to be my own boss, right? I had children. I wanted to actually spend time with my children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to go out on my own and become a coach and got certified in coaching and master certified. And originally I thought I was going to be a sales coach because obviously I'm a sales trainer. I'm a salesperson. I'm a sales coach, right? You would mm-hmm. think that would be the logical progression. But I started to think about what was the biggest thing that I overcame in my life. And yes, it was mm-hmm. becoming a really good salesperson, but the biggest thing I overcame was my first divorce. And I married young. I married at 21 and was divorced before I was 30 and had a 2.5-year-old daughter at the time, and it was devastating. Even though I technically made the decision, it was still devastating. And getting through that period and picking my life up and all of that process, you know, I really saw the steps of how I did that, and I saw how so many people struggle in the same area. And, you know, I was always that friend that everybody came to for advice, that friend that, you know, you tell all your problems to, and, you know, you ask, you know, when your boyfriend lies to you, or, you know, all of those things. That was me. I was the kind of friend. So I kind of mixed it all together. I know it might be a little confusing, but I mixed it all together, and I said, who do I really want to serve? So that's how I kind of got into relationship coaching, is really by this kind of long leading journey to really find out how I wanted to serve people. And I incorporate a lot of what I do. So that's kind of like my background. I don't know if that.
Yeah, I've been trying to ask you something. I keep on wanting to ask you something in the middle. What I want to know is what happened in your relationships, because if you're successful in pharmaceutical sales and you're training people, was that threatening to the man in your life?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, it actually was. So I took the job in pharmaceutical sales, and I ended up making almost double or triple what he made. But I thought it was great for the family. I thought, wow, you know, we can have a better house. We have a car that I don't pay for. They give you a car when you work in pharmaceutical sales. So, you know, I had a nice new car that we didn't have to pay for. I did travel a couple times, 2 or 3 times a year. It wasn't even a lot of travel. I was kind of a flexible job. It was actually I thought it was like the perfect job at that time. At the time, I thought it was great, you know. As I started to get more confidence, like you said, when I started to become good at sales and I started to get awards and started to get recognized, I started to gain more confidence in myself. And I started to see that I was capable of so much more. And, you know, it started to chip away at our marriage. Our marriage wasn't super strong anyway. By that time, it was rocky. He was always undermining and criticizing and putting me down. And I didn't really see it until I gained confidence in myself and I had other people building me up. And he was always tearing me down. And at home, it was, oh, you don't care about your daughter because you have to go traveling. Or you are, you know, why do you care about money so much? And, you know, and it was very confusing time, and I found it very difficult. So, yeah, actually, it did cause a problem when I stepped into being successful, and he wasn't necessarily.
So what advice would you give to women that are choosing someone before they even get into the relationship?
You know, what I say is before you get into a relationship, you need to pay attention to a few things. You need to pay attention to, first, you need to pay attention to I believe in listening to your instincts. I didn't listen to the signs early on when I was very young. I didn't realize what those things meant and how it made me feel. How did that person make you feel? When you share your dreams and hopes and wishes, do they tear it down and are like, shh, you could never do that. Oh, why do you want to do that? Or, oh, you should do this safe kind of thing. Or they're dismissing you, or they're poking holes in it, or they're dismissing it. Those are some signs that that person is, you know, not super supportive. Now, some people might want to share their more practical, you know, men especially like to share practical things. So, you know, if he makes a suggestion of, oh, well, maybe you should try something different, but doesn't dismiss you, that's not as bad. But listen to the signs. Pay attention. Pay attention more to how that person makes you feel and what you're experiencing with them. Don't look so much in, do they have the right car? Do they have the right house? Do they have all of that? So that's what I used to tell people who, before they get into a relationship, things to look for that will be a supportive partner.
It's so important for people to think before they get into the situation. Because once you're in it, the hormones take over, and then your insecurities come out, you know, and you play out a lot of that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I was in it already. I would dismiss, oh, that's just the way he is, you know. Oh, he doesn't mean it. He doesn't, you know, and all my friends and family could see it. And that's also the thing. If your friends and family are telling you things, some friends and family can be kind of nosy, and you know they can butt in. Some of them are too much. But if you keep hearing the same thing over and over again, pay attention. Pay attention. You know, that's something I experienced that I didn't want to listen because I thought that they were just, I don't know, not jealous, but I thought that they were, you know, they didn't understand our relationship. Like we had some special, unique thing that they can't understand my relationship, which was just a justification for me not to pay attention to how it really made me feel. Because at the end of the day, I have a lot of baggage, and I have an internal dialogue, because a lot of the negative things he used to say to me. So, you know, it's hard to deprogram from that, if you know what I mean.
I have another question. Now that you have all the confidence and you've worked with so many women, I think mostly women, to heal relationships, is there anything you might have done differently in that first marriage?
Wow. So much. So much. Well, first of all, one of the things I did way after my divorce, not right away, but I took responsibility for my part, right? I firmly believe. Yeah. Thank you. It doesn't come easy, but it's so important. I know, not only do I believe, but I know we can't control anybody but ourselves, right? As much as I would have wanted to change him and control him and make him different, I can't. So what I did is I took responsibility for my part. So looking at where I was responsible and looking at how I was communicating. So I think that what I would do different is I would have conversations, how do I say this, within my power. Like, I felt I was powerful at work, right? Like, I'm not powerful, but I was able to be confident and powerful in my work and be the person who was, I was doing presentations, showing people how to do what I did. But when I came home, I wasn't able to express myself because I was afraid of what he would think or how he would react or just the fact that he was going to dismiss me and put me down. So what I would do is I would express myself powerfully and confidently, but not in anger or neediness. So now what does that sound like? So what I used to do is I would say things like, oh, you know, you just can't deal with what I'm doing, and you don't believe in me, you don't care about me, and you know, you just want my money, but you want me to stay home, but you want the money. Like, I would be very passive aggressive, if that makes sense. So I would really negative and passive aggressive, because I was of the mind, I'm gonna get you before you get me, because that's how our dynamic was. I didn't want him to hurt me, so I was gonna hurt him. In the end, he hurt me anyway. So because he was a better debater, and he was better with words. He you know, would cut me down to the bottom floor, and I would lose anyway, no matter what I said. So what I would do differently is I would use, so what I've learned is that when you turn the mirror around to yourself and you share what it is for you. So like, if he would have said something like, you know, the common thing was, oh, you're, you know, why do you have to travel so much, and why do you have to be out late and go to dinners and start with clients, and, you know, you're not a good mother. So knowing what I know now, I would say, you know, I can appreciate that you miss me and that you want me to be home, and I want to be home with our daughter. And I feel very hurt by what you just said, because I only want to be a good mother, and what I'm doing is for us as a family to be successful. And then from there, I would frame it like, how can we make this better? Like, what time can we set apart for us as a family? You know, I would just reframe things and make it about what we could do together. So those are some of the things that would definitely change.
That's beautiful. The only thing that I'm hearing as you're saying that is that your partner may not immediately respond beautifully. They might insult you when you say that. So it has to be a pattern that you keep having those conversations. And in the meantime, get all the help you can to support yourself, you know, counseling or coaching.
Right, that's true. You know, you have to also accept whatever their communication is. Now, that's another hard piece to it. Like you said, they might still scream. Just because you're being positive, they might still cut you down. And you, like you said, it's about consistently using the tools that you've learned. And like you know, getting coaching, talking to somebody, getting coaching, therapy, somebody who you can talk to sort this out and to continue to improve yourself, right? If you're doing it to change a person, it's not going to work.
You absolutely have to accept another person the way they are. And if you can't accept it, first you have to look at yourself, like you're saying, and work on yourself. And then you know, how much is that person and how much is me? Can I tolerate it? But if you don't do the work on yourself and you run away, you could recreate that in the next relationship.
Yeah, exactly. And I did, because I was married. I don't talk as much about that marriage. I had an in-between marriage. I've actually been married 3 times, and it was a 2-year mm-hmm. marriage. And I had been working on myself already, but I still wasn't owning everything that, you know, like all my responsibility and everything. I was still partially in the blame game. So the second marriage was very similar. It was a little different, you know, they had a little different flavors, but it was, you know, similar situation. And I got taken advantage of and lied to. And, you know, I also take responsibility for that. Even though some of the person took advantage of me, I take responsibility for it all. And it's a powerful place to stand now on this side of it. Those of you who might be still in that space, like Erica said, you know, you have to do the work on yourself and figure out what you want to do next with this step, but accept the person as they are first, not going into it.
This leads to something. This leads to another question, Ariana. You talk about everyone having a certain communication personality. Please explain that.
Well, and we're all really different human beings. You, Dr. Erica is different from me. She has a different personality. We have different desires. We operate differently. So our basic personalities, and then we have what I call a love personality. There, it's kind of loosely based on the love languages. If you've ever read the Love Languages book. But it kind of takes it to another level, because we each have a love language we speak and we want to receive. So, for example, I like to talk. Obviously, I do that for a living. I like to talk. So I like to have like I like to have really intimate conversations and deep conversations. I'm really like that really makes me feel connected and whole with my partner. My husband, on the other hand, is not a talker. And he can, and he went, and he does, but not as much as me. And he prefers to do things. Like, he'll, it's not even gifts, but he likes to actually take care of stuff for you. Like, you know, he'll fix something or, you know, if I need new sheets, he'll make sure that we have them. Those are important to him. So your personality mixed with the way that you want to be loved can really show you and show your partner how to talk to you, the language to use to show you the way that so you'll feel loved and connected. But also the really important part is to be curious and interested in what your partner needs, because we can tell others what we want all day long. But if we also don't reciprocate with figuring out what's important for them, the equation is only halfway, right? It's not a complete equation.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're opposites like me and my husband, it's okay. It's okay that he doesn't want to talk for 2 hours with me and, you know, have these. I'm okay with it because the things he does give me do satisfy those parts of me. So it's a twofold thing, knowing yourself and being able to express it and getting curious to know more about your partner's personality and the way they want to be loved. So
and another piece that you mentioned it earlier, but it has something to do with speaking to them without that anger, with a sense that you love them. So they know that you love them and that you're accepting them, and there's something maybe you would like a little bit more of or whatever.
Yes, yes, so important because, you know, my husband has to tell me sometimes, I just don't want to talk anymore. I just don't, and it's okay. I used to take offense. At first it was like, why doesn't he want to talk? I love to talk. Well, he's not me. We're not the same person. So I had to figure that out, right?
I think that if the listeners only got that little piece that we're different, he's not me and I'm not him, that could change their relationship.
Sometimes it's the simplest thing. I gave three words to one of my recent clients that he says he uses over and over and over and over again, and it works every time. The three words are, I understand you. Three words.
Wow.
And, you know, that's sometimes beautiful. It's just the simple things.
I have a reaction, though. Sometimes that could be annoying because you feel like the person doesn't understand you and they're just saying words.
Oh.
But if it's really if it's really coming from understanding, it's wonderful.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Don't be a parrot. Yeah, don't be a parrot. Don't use it as like.
Anyway, we're kind of running out of time, and I wanted to have an opportunity to talk about your upcoming TeleSummit, which I'm privileged to be one of the featured speakers on. So please tell us about it.
Oh, thank you. We're having so much fun. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you for being a guest on the TeleSummit. My TeleSummit is called Express Yourself, and you can sign up at www.expressyourselftelesummit.com, and it is a 20-plus day. We have 20-plus experts and interviews with the experts Dr. Erica is one of them. So excited. Wonderful conversation. And there,
thank you.
It's all about how to create connection and that connection that we crave through not only how we say things, because communication is not just how we say things, which is your topic, is also, not just what we say, it's how we say it. It's so much more comes into communication that we neglect. And each expert has a different take on communication, and I'm so excited for you guys to check it out. I'd love for you all to join, and thank you so much, Dr. Erica, for having me on this, on your radio show, and for participating in the Telesummit. So thank you.
Okay, so just two things. Give us the name of the Telesummit again, and then how people could contact you if they were interested in speaking to you.
Absolutely. So the Telesummit is called Express Yourself Telesummit, and that you can contact me through you can go to my website at www.manifestloveintl.com and set up a call with me. You can email me directly at ariana@arianarfernandez.com. I'm happy to chat with you. I do free 30-minute relationship reboot sessions to anyone interested. And you can also sign up for the Telesummit that you'll start seeing everywhere over social media, but it is at www.expressyourselftelesummit.com.
Well, Ariana, it was really fun to connect with you and hear a little bit more about your story before watching the whole summit.
Oh, thank you. I had so much fun.
It really was fun. And to those of you listening, I look forward to speaking to you again soon.